Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
It's 9 to noon, phone number 884-9910. He's on the phone responding to the last call that we received about you, sir. It's Mr. Greg Kidd, who is running to be Northern Nevada. He is running to be our representative in Congress, running against, of course, Mark Amaday. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, the caller called up with an issue about your tax code idea of how you are using or wanting to change property taxes. What's your response to that, sir?
Well, first of all, it's not me. We the federal government, don't have
right.
anything to do with property taxes in Nevada. But it's
right.
just as an observation of mine, if two people are living in a house that has the same value, I think they should probably be paying the same property taxes. So I look to have property taxes based on, you know, equal standards for houses. So one shouldn't have a much lower price just because their house, they bought it earlier than somebody else. So that's my view, is it should be based on the same market price, not on some strange accounting standard.
Well, those strange accounting standards, though, are quite a benefit to, as the caller said, seniors who have had their home for a long time, the older homes, which they can depreciate from, compared to the new homes where they end up paying a higher tax. And to take away that benefit of the lesser tax for the older homes for usually senior citizens, been there a long time, that would raise those.
You can certainly give a discount for senior citizens, but that's based on age. But if two people are 40 years old and they bought a house 15 years ago, for one, and the other one bought it today, and the house is the same value, I don't know why they would pay a different price. And certainly for senior citizens, you can come up with whatever discount, just like we have all sorts of discounts for transportation or anything to do with taxes. So that's an issue around senior citizens, but I wouldn't confuse that with charging different prices for the same house just because mm-hmm. one person's had it for a long time, the other's had it for a short time.
Well, you're right in that this is not a federal issue, and you are running for federal office. But my friend, this is on your campaign website here. Let me read it. We should adjust our tax code when it falls most heavily on those least able to pay for the basics like food, gas, health, and education. Education is funded from property taxes. Nevada has the most antiquated property taxes in the country. It's based on a depreciating value, not market value. So Nevada has the worst spending per student in the country and the worst outcomes. My 7-term opponent is spending the least and is proud of it. And that's called backing a system that's failing. That's on your campaign website.
Well, that is true. Nevada is on the bottom. It does fund its education from property taxes, and it is one of the few states that does not base its property taxes on market value. And so that does directly translate into the some of the lowest spend. And usually Nevada is either 49th or 50th on educational outcomes. So
right.
that statement is actually is true.
Yes. That is true. But when you're saying that the schools need more money for education, obviously you're talking about raising property taxes to give to those schools. As you say, education is funded from property taxes, and your idea, your proposal, I guess, would generate more money for education, all well and good, but that money is coming from an increased property tax on people who have had the home, an older home, right? That's how you get more money for education.
I do believe, I mean, you can give whatever discount you want to seniors, but I believe two people with a house that's worth exactly the same amount of money ought to pay the same amount of taxes. I don't think it's fair to charge people different amounts for the same house simply because of the time that they've owned it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess what I'm suggesting is, I mean, it's not a unusual concept in the rest of the United States. And so
yeah.
I do believe it's unfair for people to pay different taxes for the same house.
I got you there, but you know that the folks who are getting that decreased benefit there with taxes on an older home are going to be upset with this and are going to be fighting that idea. You know, that's you have to expect that. But you're right, not a federal issue. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I absolutely expect it. But any time that the tax code is unfair, somebody's getting a good deal, but I guess I'm just saying, as a matter of equity, two people with the same house, I think, should pay the same tax. Whether that tax is high or low, I just don't believe somebody should get, like, a discount just because there's an obscure accounting rule that doesn't reflect truth or economic reality or the marketplace. I mean, we can make things up that don't reflect the market, but, you know, I'm kind of an old-school Republican. I believe in the market, and I don't believe in just making up arbitrary rules that benefit one person and penalize another for the same something that's the same market value.
Well said, sir. How's the campaign going?
Well, the campaign is quite an educational process. I've met so many people. I'm learning a lot. I've just been spending time most recently out in some of the rurals, getting to meet people there. It's going to be wild on November 5th, and so I'm going to be busy between now and then. And
yeah, what'd you think of those rurals? I'm sorry. What'd you think about those towns? The rurals, aren't they something?
They are. I went to a high school football game, a homecoming, very very tight game, and was lucky enough to sit next to folks that. Grandmother of the quarterback, and got a real education on, just on the demographics of a place like Dayton, where I had no idea that the average age now in Dayton is 63 years old, and the kindergarten class is smaller than the graduating high school class. There's some interesting dynamics going on in rural Nevada.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are putting up a strong campaign. You're putting up quite the fight, and you're right. It will be interesting on Election Day, because all the past election days when Mark Amadei is running for re-election, we never bothered to really follow the opponents because we knew whoever the Democrats put up against him. It was like a 30-70 contest. So it's going to be interesting to see how you fare, my friend.
It will be. I mean, I heard one of Mark's campaign ads, which was educational to me, because I think he accused me of being a Democrat in sheep's clothing, which is, I've never been a Democrat. But in Mark's ad, he actually mentioned that he used to be a Democrat, which I did not know. He was a Democrat during the Reagan years. And so all these things are education to me, but it will be interesting. But we won't know till we know on November 5th, right?
Right, sir. All right. Well, keep in touch with us. I appreciate you listening and giving us a call and spending time talking to the people like you do. Thank you, Greg Kidd.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, sir. Wow, he's spot on. If he's ready, we'll go to the next caller Phil, and it would be Michael calling in Reno. Hey, Michael, I'm John Potter. I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hi there. It's always interesting to turn on the phone.
You want to put that in red there. Okay, go ahead.
It's interesting to be able to recognize a voice on your show without any you introducing the person. It's rather interesting. So
yeah,
he was talking about the property taxes and the schools and everybody paying equal. So we dropped all these out-of-country people into there that have never paid any taxes leading up to their kids going to school. How do we get the tax money for that? Second of all, to his point, if what he says is correct, how about this? When your child's born, you pay into school taxes from your house. When your child gets out of school at 18 or 19 years old, you no longer pay for school taxes because you're not putting a burden on the system. He wants everybody to pay equal, but the bottom line is that there's only, you know, however many years your kids are in school that you're taking from the system. So how about you pay 18 years on that program, and then after that, you go ahead and you have a descending tax rate.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. let me just respond to what you said there. I thought the same way, but then I realized, hey, somebody paid for me to go to school. You know what I'm saying? So we all were educated by taxes, with taxes from other people who didn't necessarily have kids in school also. Let's go to John calling from Dayton on, oh my gosh, Greg, you brought up property taxes. Oh my gosh. John, go ahead. Glad you called.
Hi, John. Great listening to you. Love your show. Loved you on television as well. Anyways, this property tax thing just gets under my skin. This guy, I think Kid said it best, that he's an old school Republican. He's a rhino. And to tax everybody based on unrealized value is what he's basically saying. My parents, who bought their home for $20,000 and now it's worth $500,000, they could never afford $500,000 in taxes on that house. They bought it when it was at that rate. They should not be taxed for unrealized value that they don't have. They haven't sold the house yet. They don't know that value. That's the same BS that all the Democrats are trying to do and just get more and more taxes. The other thing I think should be done on property taxes is I think everybody should have to write a check every quarter, like I do. When you pay your house off, you write a check every quarter, which actually is coming up Monday again. We have to write a check for our property taxes. If everybody had to do that and it wasn't in their mortgage, this would be a whole different topic if people had to write that check.
All right, John, thank you. John called Greg Kidd a rhino, which is odd because that's what I hear his opponent called all the time. I hear Mark Ebaday referred to as a rhino constantly. Maybe, just maybe, I think Greg Kidd out-rhinoed Mark Ebaday. Let's move on to Paul calling from Virginia City Highlands. Paul, I'm so glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, my friend. Oh, doggy.
Huh? Good. Hey, I called because was his name Mark? The kid.
Great kid.
Kept using the word equity. We need equity. Equity is a left-wing socialist term. If he said equality, we need to have equality in taxes, fine, but he's saying we need equity in taxes. And the guy just on was saying equally, but he didn't catch on that kid was using the term equity. Anybody using equity, they need to go away. They're either not paying attention or they're on the left.
Okay, Paul. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. I got to take a break. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Phone number 884-9910. Be back in a few minutes. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1119.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
It's 11:22. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Phone number 884-9910. Discussion on the debate on Tuesday night, I said I would tell you, I said America won. Who won the debate? America won, because it was civil, it was dignified, it was respectful, it was polite, it had a lot of philosophical content, and it showed that we can join together with different viewpoints. So I say America won that debate. I didn't tell you who lost, did I? I said I would when I had time. So I have a little time right now. America won Tuesday, but on the TV, on the 8 TV news networks, including ABC and CBS, that have their post-debate coverage, i.e., that's the part where they tell you how you should vote. On 8 different channels that ran the debate, the news anchor's top word to describe J.D. Vance's performance was slick. On 8 different networks, they suddenly all found one word, the same exact word, to pound into how J.D. Vance did, and the word was slick. I had to find this out, of all places, on the Comedy Central Network, and their Daily Show, where they ran the tapes in a montage of all eight networks saying J.D. Vance was slick. Was it an amazing media coincidence? I will bet dollars to donuts that the DNC immediately sent that word out to the news networks, and they, instead of being the impartial lot that they are, hammered the word slick just like their masters at the DNC told them to. No, I'm serious. I've seen it time and time again. Same thing happened with the word weird. Remember, J.D. Vance is weird. Trump and Vance are weird. And for a week, all the news networks were using that word. The DNC is actually writing words and maybe even scripts for our impeccable, immaculately nonpartisan, neutral, unbiased television news media. I'm as shocked as you are, not really. It's funny how CBS and CNN try to look fair and balanced when they interview Republicans, too. But I'm sorry, John, you want to talk rhinos? John Kasich and the former party chief Michael Scott and Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney are not real Republicans, but I see them all the time on these channels because they know the more they attack Republicans, the more they're going to be invited back on by the news media, right? And the more they can plug their books attacking Republicans. It's how they earn their money, selling their souls to make a buck. You know, now and then, a real Republican shows up, usually a lawmaker on CNN or CBS or ABC, and that's when they throw the tough questions at them. And while the Republican gives a very good, intelligent, and persuasive answer for our cause, you can just see the interviewer's mind going, gotta nail this guy. What's a good gotcha question? Oh, I know, January 6th. Yeah. That's what I saw on CNN Wednesday. They were interviewing this Republican Pennsylvania congressman, and they're like, well, what about Trump? He's lying about voter fraud. And this congressman from Pennsylvania gave a very persuasive account of what happened in Pennsylvania last election. The Democrats changed the voting rules weeks before the election on ballot stuffing. It went straight to the liberal Pennsylvania Supreme Court. It was all approved and enacted without a vote of the people. So the interviewer then changes the subject quickly to January 6th and Trump attacking democracy. And they pull that out every time. This years-old riot from a mob of extremists that don't represent you or me or the rest of the legitimate conservative viewpoint in our country. What if we constantly had Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters represent the Democrats? We could, but we're above that. The news media is not. They will slander our Republican representatives and candidates with January 6th at every opportunity. They brought it out in the VP debate near the end, desperately to save Waltz. But we can see through the setup, and it's no longer subtle. And I think people notice more than ever. CNN and CBS and ABC are so slanted to be crooked. Is there a fair, unbiased TV news network these days? Because I miss the news. I mean the impartial, that's the way it is news. Bring back the old school journalists. Drop the media bias and the negativity and tell us what is not being reported. Can we switch back to fewer opinionated channels dividing Americans? More Cronkite, more Jennings giving us both sides. I know they're dead, but still, I can wish, can't I? And I miss Paul Harvey, too. Okay, enough of that. Let's go to the phone. John, calling from Incline at 884-9910. John, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks. I just wanted to say two things. One, having Mr. Kidd on, he helped me make my decision on who I'm going to vote for between him and Amade, and I really appreciate the help. What you should do is, you personally, go teach a couple of classes at the Reynolds School of Journalism at the University of Nevada.
Oh, you're talking to me? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I have something to say about that, but I won't. But I appreciate the idea. And how are you going to vote in this election for Congress, sir?
Yeah, well, my whole point was is I don't like it when somebody who's been in Nevada for only 4 years is telling us how we should do things. I don't think our tax rolls are antiquated at all. I think they're very fair. And I think that he probably has an opinion, and he's well within his rights to say it, but it doesn't have anything to do with what he's going to be doing if he were elected.
Well,
and
all right.
So I see what... And I see what your point is with journalism. I think it'd be good to have the Reynolds School of Journalism listen to something you have to say.
I hate to say it, but journalism and journalism schools has changed night and day from when I was taking my journalism classes at the university I went to, and how these journalism students work their jobs nowadays. It's not the same. At all. You know, I was born too late. What can I say? It's just not the same. When I was starting out in journalism, and I had my first job at a TV station in 1982, we had the older people in the newsroom that I looked up to and that I made an effort to learn from. The mentorship, there used to be mentors in the day, and we got advice and we learned from these people. Now, the young people out of the universities, and I don't mean to sound like a senior citizen here, but they're know-it-alls. You know, I was in the newsroom, I was kind of like the fool. Nobody asked me anything, and I had 45 years experience, but they all knew better. So you just can't, what is it, drag a horse to water, make it drink, yeah. We got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Phone number 884-9910, FM News Talk time 11:31.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday night to noon. And speaking of those calls, let's go back at it. Scott calling from Reno. Oh, my gosh, more on property taxes. Hey, Scott, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm calling, you know, regarding this Greg Kidd guy who was, you know, he's got this great idea of changing the property taxes. For one thing, that's going to be a property tax increase, and a big one, if you think about it. So he's supposedly a Republican. I heard him say, I came in the middle of it. I mean, he's running nonpartisan, but he mentioned Republican. Either way, he's talking about a big tax increase because they're not going to lower it. They're not going to lower it down to lowest common denominator. They're going to bring everybody up.
Right. You'll see on his campaign website, he says what he wants to do is education. Property taxes go to education. And the education, the schools are being underserved. So we got to change the property tax system to generate, I'm assuming, more money for education like he wants. Well, when you talk like that, you're talking about, you're admitting that you're raising he can't do it. It's not a federal issue.
Right.
But the only thing he could possibly be referring to is having ultimately people paying more in property taxes to get more money to education. But again, I don't know why he put it on his campaign website. It's not a federal issue. It's just a feeling or an idea or an opinion that he has. And my gosh, you folks calling up about him, he's never going to call me again now. So,
well, that'd probably make your day a lot better if he didn't call
me. No, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but he's just wrong. He's just wrong.
Okay, got it.
You know, yeah. I mean, his ideas are not good. And that would be such a fat tax increase. It would be huge. And guess what? Our education system here has plenty of money. They don't spend it well. Look at how much.
Exactly. Now, people say the same thing about Amtrak. Oh, Amtrak sucks. Oh, the schools suck. They need more money. They're not getting enough money. I don't believe in putting good money after bad. Something's not working. If you can't do it with what you have, and they raised the money for education big time recently. The last legislature, I think they came down to a new deal. A lot of the marijuana money going to education also. So it has been increased over the years.
Yeah, it's never enough money for them. Never enough. Look at what they pay the superintendent. And look at those. I mean, the last one she left, she's left with a $50,000 check going out the door.
What was it? A Clark County superintendent makes more than the president or something like that. I know it's ridiculous. I appreciate your call, Scott. Have yourself a great day. Okay. He's never going to call me ever again. Greg, no, sorry, man. But I just think of myself, too. And I'm a senior. I'm 70 years old. We've been in this house. Kathy's been in the house for decades. And our property tax would go up under that market price way of valuation. Enough of that, though. Pete Rose. I got to talk about Pete Rose. People who know me know that I'm not a sports guy. I'm really not. But I'm old enough to remember when Pete Rose played. The baseball star died this week in Las Vegas at the age of 83. His 4,256 career hits still stand as a record, but his gambling led him to be cast out of the game for life. First of all, darn sad that after all his amazing career on the field, that's all the media talked about when Pete Rose died. And damn you, Major League Baseball, for your cruelty and ingratitude. They can't disrespect you anymore. If he only beat his girlfriend or shot somebody in a bar, all would have been quickly forgiven. We have a warped sense of justice in America and sports. And here's the thing. If he had been betting that he would lose on his team, I could see it. That would be a crime. But Pete Rose bet that they would win. And you're supposed to win when you're the manager like he was. You're supposed to win the game. You're still trying to win at any cost, whether you bet or not. Nothing in the game would change. It never changed the outcome of the game. Where's the problem? So shunned for betting on baseball, and now Major League Baseball is filling their pockets with betting. Today, FanDuel and all those professional sports betting places exist, boosted by pro sports. Would you believe we have betting booths in many Major League Baseball stadiums? And there's going to be more by next spring at the Cincinnati Reds Stadium, where Pete played. There's now a betting book counter in this where you can make bets, including on the Reds. What he did to get banned for life now happens on a weekly basis in the rampant sports gambling market, and you cannot listen to a radio sports talk show today and go 30 or 40 seconds without them talking about the line and the spread and the odds, the FanDuel and the DraftKings scorecard. The whole time, they continued to blackball Pete Rose. So honestly, I haven't watched Major League Baseball since. Not so much because of what they did to him, but mainly because, compared to the way Pete played, Major League Baseball is boring now. You know, as kids, we would go out and imitate his headfirst slide. You know, the headfirst slide? That's how much hustle he had. He was his own sort of guy, and it was a different America, and we had a different culture back then, a different values. But here was this somewhat psycho badass who just threw himself into everything. That was a very appealing personality type to America back then. And Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, he was the deal back then. He was the big deal. He was always all in, always 100%. That was his style of play, his work ethic. And it was also a metaphor for the American culture that produced him. You know, he grew up in the immediate aftermath of World War II, when there was nothing America could not do. When America was on the grow, we were on the build, and we had a great deal of confidence. So obviously, Pete was one of my baseball heroes, and I met him in person twice in Las Vegas. The first time, when I started at Channel 13 there, I think it was 1985, and he came for some special exhibition game, I think it was, I don't know, Padres or somebody. And I was sent there by the TV station to get some video. You know, back then, TV was more of a jack-of-all-trades thing. You know, I spent 5 years at Channel 13 doing, like, five different jobs. So I'm there with my camera in the dugout, and there's my sports hero. And he's looking like Pete Rose, all-American badass, right? And so he's sitting on the bench in the dugout. He was like manager and player with the Reds then. And, you know, I got to get some video of Pete Rose there, obviously, if not for the assignment, but for me personally. So I'm a little nervous. You know, I was pretty young. I didn't know how to approach him. So I'm walking slowly up to him in the dugout. Can't get video of him from across the field. If I want video of Pete Rose, I'm going to have to get pretty close. But I was too shy back then to say anything. So I just kind of saunter over to where I'm like kind of in front of him with a camera, you know, between him and the field. And I turn the camera like 180 degrees where I'm staring right at him. And I bend down a bit so I'm at level with his face. And he's looking off to the left. And I'm filming him from just like 4 or 5 feet away. In my viewfinder, it's Pete mother frickin' Rose. And so I'm, okay, he's chewing this big wad of gum, and I'm getting video of Pete Rose, okay? And after a minute of no words, you know, he's still looking to the left. And then he looks straight at me, and he says, "You want me to look the other way now?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, sir, please." And he turns and he looks the other way, and I get my video, and I'm like, "Thank you, Mr. Rose." And yeah, man, I exchange words with Pete Rose. And then the second and the last time I saw Pete Rose was, I'm thinking it was 10 years ago, on a visit to Vegas, and he's sitting in front of a sports memorabilia shop in a mall, and he's sitting behind this little crappy table selling autographs, and he's being totally ignored as people, just mobs of people, just kept walking past him. It was a really sad sight that got to me. That day he was very kind and very gracious, and I got his autograph for $12. He still had a sense of humor, and he wrote, "Hey John, I'm sorry I bet on baseball." I didn't tell him to write that. I think he wrote that because that was what most people wanted him to write, which is funny and sad at the same time. And he even shook my hand. Yeah, actions have consequences, and he knew the consequences for betting, and he still made them. But the punishment was way overdone. Yet Pete Rose never complained or criticized those who banned him. He gave everything he had to Major League Baseball, and he deserves to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He sold tickets when nobody was selling tickets. He packed ballparks all across the country. Big attendance bump every time Pete Rose was in town, and he bet on games, and they threw him away, and he begged hat in hand. He admitted to everything they wanted him to admit to, and he lived decades of his life with them withholding the Hall of Fame honor from him. It was cruel, and it was wrong, and it has turned my stomach, honestly, toward the whole series of baseball commissioners. You've got wife beaters in the Hall of Fame, you got criminals in the Hall of Fame, you got juicers in the Hall of Fame, and you know you got gamblers, right, in the Hall of Fame, but you don't have Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, not while he was alive. Not when it would have done him any good, right? They owe Pete Rose an apology even after he's gone. I think he can go before God and hold his head high, and how many other sports figures can do that? Not too many. I'm not a sports guy. I'm not smart about all this, but they did him wrong. He gave and they didn't give back. I just say to hell with him. They had no mercy. They had no compassion. They kept him out of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but damn sure he's in God's Hall of Fame. So RIP, rest in peace, Charlie Hustle. I wasn't going to say anything about Charlie Hustle this morning, but I happen to be watching, if you have HBO or Max, as they call it, you got to see the Pete Rose documentary. It's called Charlie Hustle, The Case of Pete Rose. okay, it's 4 hours long because it's four episodes, but it's about Pete Rose and his life and things I didn't know. He was not only blackballed from Major League Baseball, they would not let him attend any of those special baseball veteran Hall of Fame player visits, the baseball stadium to kick off a game. They didn't invite him to any of those, but they finally relented like 2 years ago. They invited him to Philadelphia because he played for the Phillies, and he's there and he's still an outcast. The other baseball players and everybody stayed away from him, and the poor guy, he's sitting all by himself, and somebody with the stadium comes over and they said, this lady reporter would like to get an apology from you. And Pete is stunned. He doesn't know why. And she goes up and she says to him that he was verbally offensive to her. He said, "What did I say?" And she goes, "You called me babe." Pete Rose is as puzzled as you and I would be. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's a term of affection." And she's waiting for the apology, you know. And Pete Rose says, "Well, listen, I can give you 1,000 baseballs if that's what you want." You know, Pete always had a sense of humor about things. But he had to apologize for calling this woman reporter a babe. As in, okay, well, thanks, babe, you know, like that. They made him apologize for that. So humiliating. And my heart just went out to him watching that. Anyway, excellent documentary, HBO Max. It's called Charlie Hustle, The Case of Pete Rose. And that's what spurred me to speak out about Pete Rose. Not a sports guy. I don't think anything else about sports, so don't ask me. I'm John Potter, going to take our final break here. But yeah, I invite your phone calls, of course, as we do the last segment, 884-9910.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Glad to be back with you. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local till noon. 884-9910, and we take texts, too. Let's go to Phil in Carson City. No, he's not calling in. He's producing this morning. Hey, Phil.
Hi there. Oh, how are you?
You wrote, listener would like your Facebook page.
Well, yeah, I'm a radio professional, not a typist. A listener called asking him, he mentioned you were talking about your Facebook page and he can't find it. He'd like to know what it is.
I think it's really hard to find. It's an unfortunate story. For 20 years, I had a very, very good Facebook page. Unfortunately, it's called KTVN John Potter. And when I was cut off the air in mid-sentence and things had come to a sudden end, I was, you know, expecting them to let me use my page. It has hundreds of posts, many of them very interesting, educational, and positive. They blocked my access to it. It had, 8,500 followers and everything like that. So I can't use it anymore. So the Facebook page I have is just a little one. It's 45 friends. I mean, that's all I got, you know. It's just John Potter. I don't know how people find people on Facebook either, to be honest with you. I just look for John Potter and pick one of the 100 John Potters you find in America who have a Facebook page. But I wish I had access to the old one. Everybody knew that one. But the station with a heart can't use. It's still there.
Right.
It's still there. I just can't post on it or the KTVN John Potter. I can't get on it. So that's unfortunate. I can't see your messages on it or anything like that. They do, but I can't. Anything else?
No, the texts have been pretty much following what the callers have said, especially about property taxes.
Yeah.
And they did. You did have one texter who was very, very happy to have you going on Greg Kidd and holding his feet to the fire, as it were.
Well, let's give some respect to the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He's willing to go on the radio and talk to people. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Amadei's a little difficult to get contact with. So I respect what Greg Kidd is doing. Thanks, Thank you, Phil. About Facebook, you know, there are many people who are on Facebook to lift the spirits and cheer the hearts of others with kind comments and little hearts and purposeful posts. It is something of a ministry because I read Facebook, you know, and it, some of it, a lot of it is like a ministry. It's a way to leverage Facebook for good. And those folks, I appreciate their loving online service on Facebook. I see something good there about Facebook. Oh, now do Twitter, John. It's okay. I used to get so emotionally involved with Facebook. I remember people would criticize me on comments, and I just could not let it go. My wife thought it was hilarious that I would try to respond to each and everybody. When I was at Channel 2, somebody would post, oh, you said this. John Potter said this on TV. And they were wrong. They were usually wrong. And I would spend all this time going to the tape room or finding the tape through the computer and writing every word and writing back to these people who complain. But they're just didn't do any good. It's but other people thought it was funny. I would be like, why don't you like me? I just wouldn't let it go. I got to go, though, right now. Talk to you next Saturday. John Potter, live and local. We'll do it again next Saturday. Have yourself a great weekend, folks. Bye-bye.